celebrating 100 years of history of the National Federation of the Blind of Minnesota in sound. Music is copyrighted by the National Federation of the Blind and used by permission. Part 4.
Starting in the 1990s, technology began playing a larger role in the lives of blind people. The NFB of Minnesota worked to pass legislation in 1998 requiring accessibility of State of Minnesota websites and software, even though standards were very new and somewhat inadequate. We were active here in dealing with other technologies as well. When legal action was launched nationally against the Target website, some of our local members found themselves in the news.
It's Wednesday, February 8th.
But as you can hear, it's not useful.
See why a local website is at the center of a national lawsuit.
The National Federation of the Blind is suing Target Corporation. They say they can't see Target's website.
HTML rep SCOL 06021241.
Blind people do surf the net using special programs, as Rick Fuentes shows us. What you don't see at Target.com.
Walmart.com music downloads frame link. Walmart music downloads link. Your account, Steve Jacobson.
Steve can download music from Walmart.
6645-6466-2 ?5 Benko.
But Steve can't get furniture from Target's website.
As you can hear, it's not useful.
In places, the Target site does work, but some links make the computer speak gibberish.
House.html ref SCOL 06021241.
I have been in cases where I've shopped, got ready to pay, and couldn't differentiate between the buy button and the cancel button.
We're being excluded. You know, how would you feel if you were not allowed to go into a particular store or use a particular website?
To Steve, accessing internet sites isn't about rights, it's about being the same as anyone else.
If I can access web information easily, I'm going to be more employable. I'm going to be able to contribute back to society, earn my own way. It all hooks together.
In 2007, President Joyce Scanlon decided not to run for another term after serving for 34 years.
I am not running for president tomorrow, and so we're going to have a new president, and Jennifer, I know, is running. I don't know of anybody else running.
Here are Jennifer Dunham and Steve Jacobson for a special presentation.
Good evening again, everyone. We are going to have a slight departure from what was printed in your convention agenda. Steve and I, along with a number of other people, we've kind of gathered and kept it a little bit quiet here to do this, but I think that you will agree with me that this is a fitting thing to do. Joyce Scanlon, as she mentioned today, she's not going to be running for the presidency again this year. And we wanted to take just a few minutes to highlight and remember and show our gratitude for the work that Joyce has done so far.
Joyce Scanlon, leader, teacher, writer. Look back with pride and look ahead with hope.
On behalf of all of us in this room, and of all of the people whose lives you have touched by your advocacy and your tireless and fearless work, I'd like to present to you a gift. The base says, Joyce Scanlon, National Federation of the Blind of Minnesota, President, 1973-2007, you have changed what it means to be blind. Thank you, Joyce.
I don't know what to say. I just want to look at the future. We still have some work to do. We have a lot of work to do. Thank you all for your support over the years. I really, really have appreciated it always. Bob?
I nominate Jennifer Dunham.
All right, Jennifer Dunham has been nominated. Are there other nominations? Are there other nominations? Any other nominations?
Move nominations to be elected by acclamation.
Second.
And the appropriate motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, Jennifer, you are elected president. Would you like to speak?
No. If I can.
All right.
Thank you, everyone, so much for your vote of confidence. It's not something that I assume, and it's not something that I take for granted, but it's something that I take very, very seriously, and I thank you very much for it.
Issues continued to rise that required our attention, such as a movie called Blindness. This movie was based on the premise that there was a massive loss of eyesight in society, and the resulting portrayal of blindness was very damaging. We had a state convention in Rochester, and we organized a protest in front of the theater showing that movie.
The National Federation of the Blind is protesting the new movie Blindness tonight. Good evening, and thanks for joining us. I'm Brandon McElwain. The many members say the movie is taking their disability too far, and they're not going to stand for it. ABC 6 News reporter Donnie Rolls has that story.
In Blindness, a contagious illness steals the vision of masses of people. So the government quarantines the blind in an old asylum. Once inside, morality and order go away, and some people turn on each other in horrible ways.
We are taking over now.
If you want to eat, you're going to have to pay for it.
The movie makers say it's an illustration of how fragile mankind is, and it uses blind people as a symbol for society.
And turn left.
This group outside a Rochester movie theater is one of many across the country protesting the movie.
To use blindness as a metaphor for all of the ills of society and the evil things that happen and the misunderstandings is simply wrong.
They're quieter than most protesters. The most notable sound may be their walking canes. A Miramax spokesman says they're saddened by the protests and that the movie is a courageous parable about the triumph of the human spirit when civilization breaks down.
It's really annoying and disturbing.
33-year-old Emily Wharton was born blind.
Nobody's ever that incompetent as the people in this movie.
She says even people who've become blind recently don't behave like those in the movie.
Oh, let's go with 2%.
She says she doesn't spend much time thinking about her blindness.
I need to know how to do what I need to do to live. And so it's not something I think about until, you know, somebody tries to grab my arm and drag me somewhere, or somebody else's reaction to it.
She says blind people are like everybody else, which is why they don't think it's fair to be turned into symbols for man's moral failures.
The NFB of Minnesota has a long history of passing legislation. Unfortunately, there are not obvious audio recordings of the passage of white cane legislation in 1969, inclusion of blind people in state human rights legislation, and protection from unfair discrimination in insurance in the 1970s, or strengthening the role of Braille instruction. But they were important steps forward. However, in 2009 and 2010, we helped strengthen the technology bill that was passed in 1998, and we also succeeded in requiring adjustment to blindness training for state services for the blind counselors.
You will recall that in 2009, we worked to assist with the passage of legislation that strengthens the requirements for state government to make technology accessible in a non-visual manner. You know that we were the leaders back in the 90s of getting this issue on the table and getting the first round of legislation passed. But last year, we assisted in getting that strengthened and brought up to date with the current standards, the current federal standards. Pleased to be able to say that the standards that resulted from that law have been implemented as of September 1st, and we look forward to continuing to monitor and make sure that that happens. The standards are good, but they're only as good as the enforcement, so we continue to be vigilant about that. This year, our legislative focus had to do with training requirements for counselors at State Services for the Blind. We've been working for a long, long time to improve the quality of staff training at the agency through advocacy in individual cases and through continuous efforts in writing, in public, and all kinds of efforts to get that to happen. This year, we were successful in getting legislation passed that requires that any counselor working at State Services for the Blind must have a minimum of 6 weeks of sleep shade training to be able to be a counselor at the agency. Very pleased to have succeeded on that. Of course, we watch to make sure that it works, and if it needs strengthening, we go back and we work on that.
Over the years, it has become more and more apparent that learning the alternative techniques of blindness is essential for allowing blind seniors to live independently in their homes. The NFB of Minnesota, in cooperation with Blind Incorporated and State Services for the Blind, have conducted several possibilities fairs specifically to meet the needs of seniors.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Possibilities Fair, co-sponsored by the National Federation of the Blind of Minnesota, State Services for the Blind, and Blindness Learning in New Dimensions, Blind Incorporated. All right. Here is Barbara Pierce.
You know how to do things that are hard. You have a lot of experience. You have tenacity. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't. Now you've got a smorgasbord of things that are laid out before you, and you are invited to come figure out how to master this new set of skills. You have lots that you can do, lots that you can offer. Your life is very far from over. I welcome you to this Possibilities Fair. The possibilities are endless. Thank you.
Welcome, everybody, to the 2009 Possibilities Fair for Seniors.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Dick Strong. I'm from State Services for the Blind. And on behalf of the state of Minnesota, I welcome you to our second annual Possibilities Fair.
Please welcome Bob Gardner.
The magic genie is inside you. If you want that life, if you want that life of independence, if you want that life of self-determination, you're the one who's got to get up off the couch and make that first step.
Let's give a warm Minnesota welcome to Diane McGeorge.
Live the life you want. Do not let sight loss determine your future or who you are or what you can do.
Hello, everyone. I am Judy Sanders with the National Federation of the Blind of Minnesota, and we are pleased to welcome everybody to this Possibilities Fair.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to introduce our guest speaker for today. So with great pleasure, I'd like to introduce for our keynote speaker of the day, Ruth Sager.
You still control where your feet go and what you do. You may have to find some new, different ways of doing things, but I bet most of them really aren't that different from some of the things you did before losing vision.
Issues faced by blind students continue to be one of our concerns. Involvement of our members in the National Association of Blind Students is matched by local student seminars and program items on our state convention agenda.
Welcome, everybody, to our 2012 completely spring-minded and completely constitutional student seminar of the Minnesota Association of Blind Students.
I am Gordon Richardson.
No joke, students clearing their own path. And here to give us a talk about student activities is Mr. Cody Beardsley.
On April 1st, we had our first student seminar here in, I think, about 4 or 5 years, and it was called the No Joke Student Seminar. Hint, hint, April 1st, no joke. Yeah, it was created. Throughout the day, we had different presentations from people. We had Patty Chain here was in town. So was the president of the National Association of Blind Students, Catherine Webster. And the main theme of our student seminar was self-advocacy.
So I want to ask Candace Chapman to come and present our next item to us, Graduate School Year 2, Theory into Practice.
We have to do several groups as part of our practicum requirements. So I am starting a group for African-American girls at my middle school. It'll be a leadership support group. They'll work on leadership skills that we'll talk about different topics that will address those. And it'll also be a way for them to get to know other students who they might not in their usual social circles.
Over the years, activities of parents of blind children have played a significant role, as have the challenges faced by blind parents. For more than 5 years, from 2007 or so, we held Saturday school classes for blind kids and used those classes to also work with parents. many parent seminars have been held as well.
I am very pleased to present Carrie Gilmer, who's president of our Minnesota Organization of Parents of Blind Children and our National Organization of Parents of Blind Children.
This is our fourth year of Saturday School. We're ending our fourth year, and I have a young lady here. So here is Rakeem Max.
What I like about Saturday School is we get to talk about Braille, and sometimes we get to go on walks again and get ice cream.
Here's Austin.
I like Saturday School because it teaches us how to be independent.
Here is Jennifer Wenzel to talk about parenting as a blind person.
It's taught me some lessons about being confident in myself and realizing that people, even though they think they are better parents than me as a blind person, even though they may not have any children, that they're not.
Our fight to eliminate sub-minimum wages has been with us for years. Dr. Tenbrook mentioned sheltered shops at our 1960 convention, and we had the Kettner case in 1974. In 2012, we protested in front of Senator Al Franken's office regarding this issue, and here are sounds from our protest in front of the Goodwill facility in St. Paul.
No, below
minimum wage.
No, below
minimum wage.
No, below.
In 2014, another milestone was reached as Tom Scanlon decided to end his 40 years as our treasurer.
Thank you, Judy. We have a special presentation tonight. Tom Scanlon, for any that don't know this, has been the treasurer of this organization for 40 years. But Tom has been involved with the organization for longer than he's been treasurer.
1974 was indeed a banner year for Tom and for me. In May of that year, Tom was elected treasurer of the NFB of Minnesota, and earlier that same month, he also became engaged to be married. And the wedding took place in September. Tom and I have had a very fine partnership in the organization, and I have enjoyed every minute of it, and we have made some progress on behalf of blind people.
It is appropriate at this point to look back at our fundraising. We hear Ralph Awney discuss a new raffle in the early 1970s, Clarence Johnson keeping the wolf from the door, Peggy Chong in the 80s on our move-a-thon, which became today's Walk for Opportunity, and the emergence and evolution of our bake auction, including participation of Dick Strong, the then director of state services for the blind at the time.
We still have another idea for fundraising. We have a raffle set up where tickets will be sold for $1 per ticket. Everyone on the membership list will get tickets, and that means last year's membership list.
We have to work and to keep the wolf away from the door, you know, and don't wait for us to call you, call us, otherwise you might get missed.
The Move-A-Thon is Saturday, September 8th. Another fundraising project that is going on at this time is the telephone soliciting.
The baked sale, auction bake sale that we will be having will be headed by Eric Smith. He's going to be our auctioneer.
For those of you who haven't participated in our auctions before, there's nothing to say that you can't form a bidding cartel on a particular item. You know, you don't have to go in this alone. So I got 12 peanut butter divinities and 10 almond divinities. The donor is Marie Whitaker. She's a pro at this, I can tell you.
So,
$5 from Vanji, $6 from Andy. Oh, John, $7 for Tim. Do I have $8?
$8.
$8 from Joyce. $9 from Tim.
I want to call on Al Spooner here to talk about the bake sale.
I've got some bran muffins. Who'll give me $5 to start it out?
Five.
$5, okay. How about $6? Ah, I heard $6. All right, $6 for the bran muffins. $7 for the bran muffins. Who'll give me... Did you say 8?
Nine?
Okay. Got now Jan's... Oh, man, she's hungry.
I got Mr. Strong up here to give us a good deal.
Okay, it's getting near lunchtime here, but we still have some very exciting presentations, but we're going to have a little interlude here. An original Chex Mix made by Jerry Combs and Allison Horna, Blind Ink students. 25. Do I hear 30?
26.
26.
30.
30.
This is my first year helping Kathy McGilvery coordinate the auction. Pat Barrett made some cherry braille brownies.
$5.
$5. We have a starting bid of $5 for these brownie. $10. $15.
This is something from Sheila Koenig, and I've tried these before, and I know they're really good. It's 1 dozen mint chocolate truffles.
20.
All right, I was going to say the bidding will start at 20. It won't.
25.
Okay, I hear 25. Yeah, let's hold them up. I'm sorry. There you go. Okay, I hear 30.
Successes in the state legislature continued for us when we were able to secure very significant state funding for the training of blind seniors in 2016.
We had a provision that increased funding specifically designated for services to seniors. So there is $1 million additional for the 2017 biennium and $500,000 increase for each of the years going forward to the base appropriation. So that bill was signed into law.
And more important, thanks to all of you, and especially to several dedicated and determined members that are in this room, the Minnesota legislature approved funding to increase our ability to provide more extensive training for blind and low vision seniors. Yeah, you gotta give yourselves a hand.
In 2017, we elected a new president as Jennifer Dunham decided not to run for election, although she remains active as treasurer.
As most of you know, I am not going to be a candidate for president of the National Federation of the Blind in Minnesota this year. First up, we have the position of president open. I am seeking nominations from the floor.
Madam Chairman.
Steve.
I do want to make a nomination, but before I do that, I want to publicly thank our current president. I want to thank her for all of the hard work she has put in over the last 10 years. Whomever we elect will do the same thing, but they are going to have a difficult act to follow. Having said that, I would like to place a nomination, Ryan Strunk, for president.
It has been moved and seconded that the nomination cease and that Ryan Strunk be elected to the presidency of the National Federation of the Blind in Minnesota by acclamation. All in favor of this motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, Ryan.
I look forward to working with all of you to continue to build the National Federation of the Blind. Thank you.
As our new president, Ryan Strunk spoke in 2018 at the White Cane Day festivities at the state capitol.
Next, we're going to learn about the history of White Cane Day by National Federation of the Blind Minnesota President Ryan Strunk.
Now, I want you to know that it was not always like this. Back in 1928, I believe it was, the National Federation of the Blind of Minnesota, at that time we were the Minnesota Organization of the Blind, or the MOB, we passed a resolution that said that we were approving a new travel device for getting safely across the street. And that new travel device was a whistle. The idea was you'd come up to the curb, and you'd pull out your whistle, and you would blow on your whistle until somebody heard you and came out, and you would say, "Can you please help me across the street?" As you stride out around the Capitol, down the streets, be proud of your white cane. Tap that white cane and let everybody know that we are here, we are not going anywhere, and we are proud of who we are. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah!
For more than 4 decades, the NFB of Minnesota has awarded scholarships every year to blind students with presentations made at our state banquet. Recent chairs of that committee, Sheila Koenig, Lori Anderson, and Alex Locke, are heard here.
Alex Locke is pursuing a doctorate in the field of physical therapy at the College of St. Scholastica.
Thank you, Sheila, and thank you, everyone. So my name is Alex Locke. I also... some people call me Alex Stout. Judy mostly. Thank you. So as Sheila was saying, I'm a third-year graduate student earning a doctorate of physical therapy at the College of St. Scholastica in Duluth, Minnesota.
Many of you know Candace Chapman. She is pursuing a graduate degree at the University of Minnesota in counseling. Our second scholarship winner, Musimil Ibrahim.
Jordan Richardson is studying
early childhood.
Early childhood education at the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities.
Jan Bailey is going to fill in for Alex.
Lee Blair is majoring in gender, women, and sexuality studies and is in her final year at the University of Minnesota. Mahesh Matthew is working on a degree in public health at the University of Minnesota.
There are so many other accomplishments or events of note that are not captured here. However, there might not be a better example of our persistence and flexibility as an organization than has been illustrated during the current COVID-19 pandemic. Besides holding our meetings in a virtual format throughout most of 2020, we were able to transform our 39th annual Walk for Opportunity into a physically distanced event that turned out to be one of our most successful walks ever. Listen here to the Facebook Live component that was part of the success.
Now this year, because of the pandemic and because social distancing is a good thing, what you're going to see is our members out in the community moving around in the spaces that they've chosen. Sharon Monty and Briley O'Connor, welcome to the stream.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have Katie, we can do a read.
Sure. So this article is called Do You Want to Run? And it takes place in Australia. However, I'm not going to read with an Australian accent for fear of offending all my Australian friends.
I'm Chelsea DeRanlo, and I'm walking the river route with Matt Langland and Jabiel and Cody and a few students.
I see that we have Mike Colburn here.
It's a beautiful day in Mankato. My office from my front door is about 3 miles, so I figure I'm going to walk there, get a little bit of work done, and walk home.
We are under Lindale right now.
How far into your route are you, Jennifer?
We started at the Martin Olaf Sabo Bridge. We've taken the Midtown Greenway all the way, and we're just got under Lindale, and we're going to take it all the way out to St. Louis Park to Carpenter Park.
Charlotte?
We're right around the Bryant-Aldridge-Lindale area on the Greenway. So we've been walking for about an hour. We started out in St. Louis Park.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning, Steve.
Doing fine for my 39th walk.
Shall we check in with our president, Ryan Strunk?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
I am out in my neighborhood. I live in southwest Minneapolis, and I'm coming up to Xerxes Avenue, which is a rather busy street.
Dave Andrews.
I'm in the wilds of Stillwater. I'm by Lakeview Hospital, in case I give out.
Jan Bailey from Rochester. Why is the walk and why is the NFB of Minnesota important to you?
Well, I think it's to show the public that we're capable and that we're out there living the lives that we want. But it's also a good way to raise the expectations of the public.
Thank you for embarking on this journey in sound with us. There is much work left to do. For over 15 years, we have been involved in making it possible for us to vote independently, and that work continues even now. Our work to protect the rights of blind parents is also not finished. Please join with us, whether virtual or in person, as we move into our next 100 years.